didn't get a chance to meet, Kent, you're going to get a chance to meet her now, and we want to thank them for coming over and sharing with us today. And Kim, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Good morning. So, I'm Kim Crawford, and I'm the director of Circle of Freedom, and this is my husband, Rick. You can wave with his good arm there. I didn't do that to him. Well, maybe, because he's been working really hard at our building. So, we've been married for 40 years next week, and we have three sons that are all grown up and some wonderful daughter-in-laws and four grandchildren. That's our family. We've been active members at the New Beginnings Worship Center in Corydon for over 30 years. And the Circle of Freedom Ministry began back in 2012 when I received the opportunity to have a weekly Bible study at the county jail with the women. So it quickly expanded from there to follow-up ministry with them when they would get out of jail, mentoring and biblical counseling, as well as with women that would contact me outside of the jail system. Our mission at Circle of Freedom is helping women that are struggling with addiction find freedom in Jesus and then help them with life reestablishment. In 2021, there were about 40,000 people in Iowa who received treatment for substance abuse. And that's just the ones that received treatment. That is amazing, isn't it? In a bad way. Addiction destroys lives, it steals hope, and it devastates entire families, not just the person who's addicted. I'm guessing there's at least one child in every classroom in all of our communities whose families are struggling with the devastating effects of addiction. We minister with women across South Central Iowa and North Central Missouri. And there are a lot of women who really do want to change their lives. But they're released from jail with nowhere to go except to return to the same place they came from. It's filled with drugs, abuse, and hopelessness. And even those that have a good place to go, they're back in their old neighborhood and their old friends are right there at the door to welcome them home. They haven't had a chance to get grounded in their faith or begin any life reestablishment. They really need more. So I have a video I'd like to show you now. Someone in their family or someone close to them that has been devastated from addiction. And if they don't, then they should know that they are blessed and they are fortunate. But watching people that I've been close to struggle with it through the years has been part of what's really captured my heart, because I know them so personally and I know who they are and I know how good their hearts are. And addiction covers up who the real person is. And I just think it's like uncovering them, getting down to who they really are. And I see that with women in jail, like the first couple weeks that they're there. Lots of times they might have this hard shell on them. And then sometimes even as they're going through the third week, sometimes it's even worse, because I don't know if it's because they're still detoxing or what, but boy, you get into the weeks and then after that and you can see this softening, you start to see the real person that's inside of there. And the person that their mom knows that they are. You know, the person that their brothers and sisters know, they remember from way back. And that's the person that's still there. That's the person that God knows is there and that God wants to set free. And I want to be part of that.
My name is Molly Gar. I met Kim when I was in jail. I went to jail. I had a 20-year meth addiction, and I got caught with a bunch of methamphetamine, and I was in jail. I was looking at 10 years in prison, And she came to the jail and started talking about God, how great Jesus is, you know. And while I was in jail, I gave my heart to the Lord, and my life is forever changed for it, you know. That's been about 5.5 years ago now.
My name is Rose, and I grew up in Centerville. I've spent 28 years there, and 8 of those 28 years was a lot of trouble. I lost my mom when I was 23, and I dove headlong into using opiates, and I was an IV user for 8 years. We ended up moving up to Des Moines, and I had entered myself into treatment as soon as I had gotten up there. I was getting ready to start on Suboxone to stop the opiate withdrawals and the cravings. And I ended up getting really, really, really sick. And trying to come off of the opiate at the same time that I was going through that almost killed me. And I kicked it for a while. It really straightened me out. And then my kids' dad came home from prison, and I relapsed again. So I got arrested. And I spent 2.5 months in county jail in Wayne County, and that's where I met Kim.
Okay, when I met you, I was lost, broken, I was addicted, I had no hope, and when I met you, I was in Bible study. And at first I was just thought it was just like some, I don't know what I thought. And then you wrote me letters while I was in there, and that was awesome because I felt like I had somebody that actually cared for me. And then when you started telling me about Teen Challenge, I knew that I needed to surrender to God and that I needed help. And what really got me was when you went all the way, I think it was 3 hours drive.
Oh yeah.
And you came and saw me on visitor's day.
Yep. When you got transferred up to Marshall County. Yep.
Yeah. I'm like, this lady cares that much about me to travel that far just for what, 5-10 minutes to see me on a screen. And that was your first show that I seen Jesus shining through you. And then you had wrote to the judge, and I still thought I was going to go to prison because all the things that I had done in my addiction. And then the judge told me that you had written him a letter and he had read it, and he was gonna release me that day to Teen Challenge. That was God working there.
That was a miracle, yeah.
Yeah, and you drove me down to Teen Challenge, and I was still like in shock of all of it. I still hadn't fully accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I was still in like shock of what all was going on. And my mother had died while I was in jail, which you knew.
Yeah.
And you kind of just stepped in and filled that where she couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
And so that helped a lot. And then when I got to Teen Challenge, and you had paid for all that stuff that I needed to be there.
Yeah, my church did that.
So when you came, at 6 months visit, you came, I think it was for Easter. Instead of being with your family, you came all the way down there and seen me. And I got saved again because I was really struggling, and we rededicated my life. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And I was really struggling. I just wanted to leave. And then yeah. I ended up being there 3 years later. 3 more years, wasn't it? Yep. I graduated and then stayed on a staff for almost 3 years. And then I've been sober now since, for gosh,
2015.
Yeah.
Can you believe that? That's almost 6 years.
Yeah. I can't wait to say 10.
I know.
And now I've always known the Lord, and now that I have him in my life, he's just done so much for me. And I think it's just so awesome that your dream is to open this ladies' place for ladies to get help for it, you know, addiction and all that. And I think it's just, it's awesome.
I don't know, I just, they all capture my heart. And I feel like sometimes, you know, if people had cancer and I had the cure for cancer, I would not keep it to myself. And I know that Jesus is the answer, and I know that He has made a way for people. And I see long-term faith-based residential homes that have made such a difference in the women where we've sent them there. And I want that for the women that I'm meeting, you know. So we've helped women go to those, and they've done so well. And but they've had to go clear to, you know, southern Missouri or the middle of Nebraska. There's just such a shortage of that in Iowa for women. And so that's been on my heart for many years, but I never really thought that I would do it. I don't know, I just had to have lots of conversations with God over and over, and it's like, okay, you have to be the builder, Lord. I'll be your hands, I'll do what you ask me to do, but you have to be the one that builds this. And I'm just privileged to get to be a part of it. In the jail system, some of them are desperately hungry for Jesus and for a change in their life. And they're ready to do whatever to get there. They just need people to come alongside them to help them.
This is God's work right here. It is God's work. God is doing this, making it happen. Every aspect of it. It's going to be for something that is so awesome. It's going to change women's lives. It is. It's going to change women's lives. Women in Iowa really needed this. It's going to change a lot of people's lives.
So I kept going to the jail every week, seeing the need that was there over and over, and then I'd read my Bible. And I'd read things like James 2, 14 through 17 that says, "What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can his faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothes and lacks daily food, and one says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm, and eat well,' but you don't give them what the body needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith, if it doesn't have works, is dead by itself." And then I'd read about Gideon, because I would tell God, you know, these women need a residential home here. We need something for them. And I knew it was too big for me. But then I'd read about Gideon and what he did. Or I'd read about Rahab and think, God could use a prostitute. And I'd read about Moses and Moses saying, "I can't talk good, God." And how God got after him and said, you know. And I kept, for about like a couple years, that God just kept putting this on my heart. So in 2016, I started taking courses and working towards my ordination and chaplaincy and appointment with U.S. Missions. And in 2019, I retired after 35 years of service with USDA to follow my heart into full-time ministry with these women. In 2020, we formed a 501c3 nonprofit organization. And in 2021, we purchased the old care center building in Seymour. And I say purchased, but really, God pretty much gave us the building. So it needed a lot of work, though. But we're opening this women's residential home for those who need the more intensive help. This home will offer our women a place to get grounded in their faith, find Christ-centered solutions to addiction, and begin life reestablishment. Remodeling our home after the Adult and Teen Challenge Center, and we'll be using their curriculum. They've been around for over 60 years. They have centers across the nation, and they have some of the highest success rates out there for people maintaining their sobriety. Their success is attributed to biblical-based teaching and the restoration power of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I've been able to visit over four of their centers, along with Lifehouse Ranch, Hope Ministries, and The Refuge, and just work with all these different directors have been so good to help with us, mentoring us, teaching us what to do, and even they're helping with staff training. So we've been really blessed with that. We'll provide for up to 12 women in our center with 24-hour staffing, and most of the women will be in our program for 12 to 15 months. They'll come voluntarily because they want to change their lives, and they're going to know up front that it's not an easy program. It'd be a lot easier for them to go to prison, to go to a halfway house, to go to a secular program. And the daily schedule there, they're up at 6 in the morning. They have a chapel time every morning together. They have chores to do. They're in class for several hours every day. And we work with them also in life skills training, parenting, relationship, financial management. They learn how to clean and cook and garden. We have retired teachers that will work with them if they need to get help getting their GED or just help with math or reading, things like that. We will help them get their driver's license back, get payment plans set up for their fines. There's just a lot to be done to rebuild their life so that they can actually go out and live life. And all of it's going to be faith-based. So it can be pretty overwhelming. They can't have their cell phone. We're not going to be having the TV on. I mean, it's a whole different life for them. But when I sent Teresa down to a center, I told her, you're not going to like it there. You're probably going to hate it. So you need to be determined to push through the first part while you're getting through that transition. And when I'd call her, she'd say, I hate it here. But the next thing she would say is, I can tell they love me here. You know, and that's what kept her there, is just feeling that love. And so that's going to be a big part. Everything we do with them will be done with respect and love of Jesus and just the family of God, being the family of God to them. So our thrift shop will be a safe, monitored place for them to work during the earlier phases of our program, and it'll let them participate in raising funds to support the center. And then in later stages of the program, they'll get an outside job while they continue to work or to have the accountability of staying at the center. And a portion of their salary will come back into the center support. Another portion of their salary will go into a secure savings account for them to save up for when they leave. And they'll also, before they graduate, we'll get them set up with a good church and a mentor wherever they're headed, and housing and employment, and then we'll stay in contact with them after they leave to make sure that they're doing okay. So the east wing of our building is now the renewed thrift shop. And those aprons that you see there were made by Michelle Doty. And we opened a year ago there, and it's doing great. It's run by community volunteers, and our women will also work alongside the volunteers than at their time during the home. So we've been blessed with lots of great donations and happy shoppers, and all the proceeds go to support the center. So if you like the thrift shop, come down and check it out. And also remember us with your gently used donations. So we have several pictures here to go through of before and after of our building. It looked really bad when we first bought it, and Dave can attest to that. He's been down there several times. It had been unheated for a couple of years. There had been some water damage, sheetrock coming down, and it was in pretty sad shape, but it was structurally very sound. So we pretty much had a gut job to do. We've also completed the residential portion of the building and the central and south wing of so it's done, and we're ready for the women there. And it turned out better than we would have ever imagined. We would have been happy with some just old furniture, some used appliances. And I feel like God said, I can do better than that. I want something nice for these women. And people donated such nice stuff, nice furniture, nice appliances, used kitchen cabinets that turned out beautiful. It just turned out to be a beautiful home for the women. And it's all been accomplished without incurring any debt. because of generous supporters and over 5,300 hours of volunteer labor from people like Dave Doty and churches that have come down and spent. It's just been amazing. We've been in a very busy season these last few months getting administrative stuff done, handbooks and staff and student applications and student guidelines and making sure that we're meeting all the state and legal requirements. We finally got our staff hired this last week, which has also been a big accomplishment, finding the right people. It was important to find spirit-filled, godly women to be there that really had a passion for this. And God gave us awesome staff. So I thank him for it every day. So they're going to be, a couple of them are moving there. By the end of the month, we'll have them all in place and we'll start training. And God will tell us when we're ready, but I'm thinking it will be in the next couple of months we'll be opening. So in the final phase of renovation, the North Wing will become 5 apartments for affordable independent living for Christian retirement age and older women. And they're going to be like mentors to our women, like the grandmas of our building. There's a Bible verse that talks about the older women being that example for the younger women. And that's what we feel like these women are going to do. They're going to be welcome to join us for meals, for daily chapel services, and family-style activities. All medications for everyone living in the building will be maintained in a locked cabinet under staff supervision. So this building provides the perfect place for the residential home and 2 sources of income to help support the center, the thrift shop, and the apartments. When the North Wing apartments are done, we estimate we can be 50% self-sufficient in our funding. And that is really an awesome gift from the Lord, because most centers like ours are almost 100% donor supported, and that can be really hard to maintain through the years. So God has given us a great gift in that building. He's brought us a long ways in 2 years. That video that you saw, that was 2 years ago when we just were starting the building. We're thankful and amazed every day at what he's already done and how many people he's raised up, how many churches he's raised up around us, churches like yours. But we still have some challenges ahead. We have a lot of funding still to raise to finish our apartments. But we know he's going to continue to provide. In Luke 4:18, Jesus said he came to proclaim good news to the poor, freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, and to set the oppressed free. And just as Jesus came to reach the hurting and the broken, he also chooses to work through all of us, his people, to provide for those in need. Our church by itself could have never made that happen. And your church could never make that happen. But all of the churches together, with God as our leader and our builder, he can make it happen. And he is making it happen. So we can't thank you enough for being faithful to us, as partnering with us in so many ways, you know, investing in financially and having people willing to come and work and praying for us. You're investing in lives. And it's an investment that will multiply, because I believe God is a multiplying God. And it will multiply here on earth, and it will multiply into eternity. You're part of making this home a reality. You looked at the lives of Molly and Rose and Teresa. Instead of taxpayer dollars now supporting them in jail or the court system or supporting their children in foster care, they are all working steadily. They're paying taxes. They're taking care of their families. They're putting money back into the economy. And even better, they love to share what Jesus has done for them. They tell their family, they tell their neighbors, their friends, their coworkers, anyone who will listen. You want evangelists and missionaries? There they are. They go out and tell everyone. So just imagine how many lives could be changed for eternity, how our communities can be changed by every woman who finds freedom, a fresh start, and a future in Jesus. So thank you for letting me come share with you today. And I have cards, and you can sign up if you want to be a volunteer or get our newsletter. And I just really appreciate your support so much.